This is Focus West Michigan for Thursday, October 16, 2025. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. Kent Intermediate School District is asking voters to approve an enhancement millage restoration and renewal on the November ballot. WGVU's David Limbaugh explains.
First approved in 2017, the enhancement millage provides consistent shared funding across 20 Kent County school districts for art, music, and athletic programs, as well as tech upgrades, special education, college readiness, and career and technical programs. Kent ISD Superintendent Dr. Ron Gorman.
Which provided, at that time, about $250 per student.
That millage is set to expire by 2027. Due to the Headley Amendment, the original 0.9 mills have been reduced to approximately 0.8 mills.
Whenever housing prices outpace inflation, the amount of dollars are reduced, so that's why you're hearing restore and renew.
Voters approving the renewal would restore the millage to its original 0.9 mills for another 10 years, or about $357 per student. Gorman says that number was chosen based on community polling.
Because it seems as though a 0.9 mil is a number with which the community is more comfortable.
Funding will benefit all public and charter schools within Kent County. More information can be found online at kentisdmillage.com. I'm David Limbaugh.
Saugatuck Douglas and Saugatuck Township are partnering in a creative solution to expand fire services to meet the needs of the quickly growing area. WGVU's Dee Morrison reports.
The problem?
We've seen an exponential growth in the number of emergency calls that the fire district has to respond to.
Saugatuck Township Manager Daniel DeFranco says another challenge is that the fire district is split by the Kalamazoo River, with current services located near Saugatuck in the north.
In order to get to the second population center in Douglas and all of the southern part of Saugatuck Township, you need to cross one narrow bridge. And the concern is that if there's ever an emergency on the bridge or something that closes the bridge, the fire district is unable to respond to any emergencies occurring in the south side of the river.
The solution? An expansion housed at the new Douglas City Hall building being built on Wiley Road, with garages for equipment and quarters for staff. Saugatuck Township will hold a $5 million capital improvement bond to pay for it, which would then be paid back through the fire department millage, to which all three communities contribute.
I think it's municipal collaboration, cooperation at its best, that Douglas can make a space available for the fire district, and then the township can step in and help facilitate this bond to pay for the expansion, which is going to see improved emergency service response for the whole community.
I'm Dee Morrison.
Cascade Township-based Cascade Engineering is partnering with a Swedish company on a project that helps protect communities from floods. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
Cascade Engineering is partnering with Sweden-based NOAC Flood Protection AB to produce and distribute a flood barrier system in North America called Box Wall and Box Pool. Cascade is using its injection molder to produce NOAC's patented lightweight self-anchoring barriers. The freestanding polypropylene gates are anchored near floodwaters and can be set up almost anywhere within minutes, making them much faster to install than piling sandbags. According to Cascade, this is one of the few flood barriers made domestically. The system is adaptable and reusable, complete with corners, gables, and other accessories, allowing for a customizable defense system. Cascade says the partnership meets the rising need for barriers during climate-driven flooding events. Cascade began selling the barriers in August. I'm David Limbaugh.
A West Michigan investment group is acquiring Holland-based Volta Power Systems. They'll relaunch the advanced lithium-ion battery business under the name VoltaGen. WGVU's Dee Morrison spoke with company leaders.
VoltaGen is a company that is aligned with young and hungry leadership. All of our partners are under the age of 40 and all based here in West Michigan.
Doug Kessler is president and operating partner of VoltaGen, the new name of Volta Power Systems, just acquired by Venture Capital, Von Meer Ventures, and Kessler Ventures. It delivers energy solutions for buses, entertainment production sets, industrial vehicles, and electric generators. Kessler says it will continue to operate and manufacture at its Holland facility, which is being purchased separately.
The technology and the people are what make it so successful and has over the years, right? So we hired all of the Volta staff over to VoltaGen.
Addressing manufacturing concerns over supply chain issues and tariffs, Kessler says they're in talks with the few overseas suppliers they have.
Our company is manufacturing all of our solutions here in America, specifically in Holland. In addition to that, we're sourcing suppliers suppliers based in Michigan here and even in Holland and Zealand that manufacture our steel shells, specific wire harnesses, and individual controller components.
Company leaders say Voltagen will build on the legacy of VoltaPower while expanding into new markets and products. I'm Dee Morrison.
Coming up soon, WGVU's Shelley Irwin talks to a Kalamazoo author about his new book, but first, news from around the state. Bills heard in a Michigan Senate committee on Wednesday could open the door for more CBD and other hemp-derived consumable products to hit store shelves. Colin Jackson has more.
The package would place hemp under the watch of the cannabis regulatory industry and allow for non-intoxicating products like drinks. Hemp Beverage Alliance founder Christopher Lackner says drinks would be better off regulated by the Michigan Liquor Control Commission.
It's going to create opportunity. It's going to create tax revenue. And you can do all of this within the existing alcohol distribution system and the MLCC that regulates it.
But Joe Maricelli, a manager at a cannabis and hemp testing lab, says hemp beverages need the same level of regulation as cannabis drinks.
Without parity and oversight, we risk compromising consumer safety and unfairly disadvantaging businesses that follow more stringent guidelines.
The State Senate Regulatory Affairs Committee also took up bills to cap marijuana retailer licenses. I'm Colin Jackson.
9 young men who are incarcerated in the Washtenaw County Jail now have high school diplomas, or GEDs. They're the first in the county to complete the Inmate Growth Naturally and Intentionally Through Education, or IGNITE, program. It's in collaboration with the Washtenaw Intermediate School District. Washtenaw Sheriff Alicia Dyer says the first graduates won't be the last.
I am so proud of our graduates. They deserve all the credit for working hard to complete their education certificates. WISD has been a great partner in our jail. We deeply appreciate them, as well as all of my staff, for making this happen.
The IGNITE program originated in Genesee County under Sheriff Christopher Swanson. It has been spreading across the country with great success. It includes job training and certification programs for the incarcerated nearing release and has been shown to reduce recidivism. For several years, Washtenaw County officials have pondered if there is a better use for the property it controls. There's over 800,000 square feet of interior space and more than 90 acres of parking lots and other grounds. The County Commission has created a Space Plan Steering Committee to evaluate what it has and if changes should be made. County Commissioner Andy Labar has long favored such a task force. He says there's much to be considered.
Can you consolidate buildings or space in a way that's more environmental or economically beneficial? Also, is some of the land use right now for a county building the highest and best land use? You think about downtown Ann Arbor is a surface parking lot your highest and best use.
The last comprehensive space plan was in 2006. In 2025, Washtenaw County spent more than $10.5 million operating its infrastructure and almost $4 million on renovations. Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support this show and everything we do, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. Kalamazoo author and former comedy writer for Bill Mayer, Kurt Lux, talked to WGVU's Shelley Irwin about his latest work, Tributaries, a collection of poems and personal essays. It's Kurt's sixth collection, having won a Pushcart Prize, a James Tate Poetry Prize, and more.
Always nice to spotlight a local author. Local in this conversation, Kalamazoo, hop and a skip, however you want to head south, of course, from our Grand Rapids, east, west, north, or south, get to Kalamazoo, wonderful area, and I hope you would agree. I am glad you are here, author of Tributaries, Kurt Lux. Good morning to you, Kurt.
Good morning, Shelley. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. New to Kalamazoo, are you?
Been here since about 2018.
So you know what four seasons are like, and yet I know Midwest home to you. Kalamazoo, well known for its arts, and I hope a good setting for you to write a book.
It is, and I'm happy to be up here in Grand Rapids, where I have two adult daughters.
Oh, you make the trip often. Congratulations on keeping everyone in West Michigan. Now it's time to talk about you, Kurt Lux, L-U-C-H-S. May I introduce Tributaries, essays, and verses flowing from and celebrating favorite poems. Are you a poet?
I am a poet, and there are 23 of my poems in this book. It's basically three things. It's one of those hybrids they talk about. So I've taken 20 poems that I happen to admire. Most of them are recognized as classics, but not all. Some of them I say are classics. Maybe people will agree with me. And for each poem, I've written a personal essay going into some depth about why the poem works and why I love it. And then in addition to that prose tribute, I offer a poem, or sometimes two, of my own that is somehow inspired by, in response to, akin to the poem being discussed. And so two forms of tribute. And as far as I know, it's unique. I don't think anyone else has done a book quite like this.
Hence the name Tributaries?
Well, as having this both an essay about a poem and then a poem in response to it.
This is not your first dance, your sixth collection, I understand. You've won a Pushcart Prize, a James Tate Poetry Prize, an Islands Book Award, and you've done a little writing for some famous people in your background.
I used to be a comedy writer. So the short version is I was a poet, or a struggling young poet, from age 16 to 21. And my first published poem was at age 16 in a magazine right next to one by Charles Bukowski, one of the last of the Beats. And around 21, I shifted my interest into trying to do comedy. And I was in a sketch comedy act with my brothers, and we did a lot of writing and radio plays and other things. And then I went through a long period where I wasn't really doing anything. I would sometimes scribble a poem, but I wasn't sending them anywhere, wasn't trying to get them published. And then I started working for The Onion. And I wrote for The Onion for almost two decades. And I had stuff in their first book, Our Dumb Century, that won a Thurber Prize. So I've got, a tiny little piece of that Thurber Prize. And then I used my Onion credentials to go get some jobs writing comedy and television. I wrote for Bill Maher at Politically Incorrect for a season. And then I don't know if you remember Craig Kilborn, who preceded Craig Ferguson on The Late Late Show after what used to be the Letterman program. And I wrote for him for 3 or 4 years. And then I gradually became interested in poetry. And about 10 years ago, I decided to return to it. And I've been doing it rather arduously since then, and got a couple of chapbooks, a couple of full-length collections. And when my publisher started a quarterly magazine called Exacting Clam, don't ask me why.
C-L-A-M, yes.
That's right. Don't ask me why he calls it that. And in every issue, I've had one of these tributaries. We didn't publish the original poems, but we published the essay about it and then a poem in response. And then for this book, we went and got permissions for all the original poems that required it. And let me tell you, that was an interesting process. Never done that. Never dealt with so many literary lawyers in my life.
Well, they say change is good, and we're never too young or age to do new things. So I'm pleased. Is readership for poetry up?
I have no idea. I'm probably not the guy to ask.
Well, my notes tell me readership for poetry is up, but literature on the whole has been under assault lately.
I don't know if it's under assault. I think the artist's job is always tough in any age, and the exact conditions change. Sometimes there's political pressure, sometimes there's social pressure. But it's hard to make a living as an artist no matter what you do. If you're in a popular art, like writing comedy for television is popular, you can make a living at that. On the other hand, you get to see someone else deliver your jokes. You don't get the same personal satisfaction that you do from publishing a book. I think artists just have to be dedicated and stick with it no matter what the obstacles may be. I keep my head down and I keep working. And honestly, I'm making less money now and having more fun in my creative life than I ever did, because television is hard. Comedy is hard. Poetry's hard too, but nobody's watching you do it. So you can figure it out on your own.
And the book all ends with Kurt Lux and the work. Again, Tributaries, essays and verses flowing from and celebrating favorite poems. What's the rhyme and reason to any order? I know there are names that begin several chapters, for lack of better terms.
So they are, it's just 20 poets. They're mostly 20th century poets. Mm-hmm. So first of all, they had to be in the Dead Poets Society, because I'm responding, even though I'm writing about an individual poem, mm-hmm. I'm using knowledge of the poet's whole career, and that's only possible once they passed. So they're all dead, but they live in their work. And the oldest poem in there is Homer's Odyssey, which I find intriguing because a brilliant translator named Emily Wilson has done versions of the Odyssey and the Iliad that put all other versions to shame, in my opinion. So she's kind of like the co-star of that chapter. And then there's several Hispanic poets. Five of the poets, including Homer, are translated into English. The other 15 are original in English. Other than Homer, the oldest poem in there is Lewis Carroll's Jabberwocky, which I love as a humor guy and had a lot of fun writing about.
And you write, you share the poetry, and yet your essays expand our reading, correct?
They're personal essays. They're not academic. I tried to throw as much fun stuff in there as I could. Someone reading it could probably tell I've done a lot of humor writing and just having fun with the poem. You know, in the case of Lewis Carroll, he's having fun with us, so I think it's fair to have fun back with him. But, you know, not something academic, something very personal, and hopefully inspiring people who already love poetry to dig into it deeper. And if somebody is in any way put off or intimidated by poetry, I think this might be a good entree. And Christmas is coming, people. This book would look good in somebody's stocking if they're readers.
Important to, continue sharing what is certainly close to your heart. What's next for you?
I've got two more books already written and ready to go. They won't be out next year because my publisher's calendar is full. But the next one's called A Little Book About the Beatles. And it contains two things. There's about a couple of dozen sonnets about the Beatles and their work. And I was surprised to find that apparently I'm the first person to do that. Nobody has, of the thousands of books written about them, nobody has written a book of poetry about them. And then in addition to the poems, there is an essay about their little-known relationship with the soundtrack composer Bernard Herrmann. It's fascinating stuff. He met them before they were known, before they were even signed with either their agent, Brian Epstein, or with their producer, George Martin. And he came back to America and tried to interest all the record companies in them, and nobody would hear about it. And then suddenly, a year or two later, they're all over the place. And then I have another book coming after that. These are both probably coming in 27. It's called Crumbs from a Smart Cookie. And it's kind of a David Sedaris-like book. It's 10 autobiographical essays, mostly dealing with my childhood, early youth. There's one that takes place in my 30s. But if you like that kind of thing, and there's a lot of humor in that as well. And then beyond that, I'm working on the next book of poetry and the next, I think I'm going to get a collection of radio plays written by myself and my brothers. Kind of fire sign theater-like stuff.
One may say, what's a radio play? Let's bring it back, as they say. All right, so present day, this comes out in December, correct?
December 2nd is the official date. You can go to the Sagging Meniscus website. You're going to be able to find it on Amazon and all other places that books are sold.
I'll make sure it's in our bookstore here locally in West Michigan to boot. Kurt Lux, thank you very much. Keep on writing as you are. There's still stand-up comedy out there and a sketch comedy in West Michigan. I want to see you on stage.
There is. Thanks for having me, Shelley.
Welcome, Kurt. Take care.
Appreciate it.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Thursday, October 16, 2025. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan tomorrow. Thanks for listening.